is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Well, Psalms 139 and 14 are foundational texts. I want to jump right into it in a series entitled Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. This series is about knowing who you are in God and having confidence in his plan for your life. How many know that God has an amazing plan for everybody in this room? So the writer says in Psalms 139 and 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So David, even though David was going through a lot of challenges, if you understand David's life, he went through all kind of things. People tried to kill him all the time. Just a whole bunch of stuff went on in David's life. David, in the midst of everything going on, he knew who his God was, and he knew who he was in his God. So he says, I'm going to praise you because I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I know that all of your works are marvelous. He says, my soul knoweth. In other words, in the depths of who I am, I know you made me. In the depths of who I am, I know I have purpose. And one thing, when I was praying this week, I realized that David, even though he was going through what he was going through, that his soul was healthy. Everybody say his soul was healthy. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I want to talk to you a little bit about soul therapy on today. How do I really make sure that my soul is healthy? In other words, how do I make sure that I'm good on the inside? When we begin to understand the components of the soul is my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, and my intellect. And so how do I make sure that I'm good on the inside? A lot of times the reason we're not healthy on the outside is because we're not healthy on the inside. And that's why sometimes people deal with things like depression or insecurities or addictions, you got it, or fear or things like that. And what happens is, in an effort to fix what's going on, let's just use depression, in an effort to fix that, you always try to fix it externally instead of internally. So you say, well, I'm going to go to the movies with my friends. And when I go to the movies with my friends, it's going to be a blast. We're going to have a good time. You go to the movies, you have a good time. But when you come back to home, you are right where you were from the beginning. Everybody say soul therapy. So I believe sometimes we don't see real change, or the real change we want to see in our lives, because we're trying to change the external without changing the internal. We don't change from the outside in, but rather God changes us from the inside out. And so we have to learn how to do it his way. This is why we must deal with things internally. This is why we must deal with thoughts internally. Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse, teaches us to be careful how you think. It says, for your life is shaped by your thoughts. Everybody say, my life is shaped by my thoughts. The Bible teaches us in another scripture, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that is why it is very important that I make sure, as it relates to my soul, that it's healthy, that I'm saying only what the word of God is saying, that I'm thinking only what the word of God is thinking, that I'm seeing only what the word of God is seeing. Because, watch this, because whatever is on the outside a lot of times is a determination of what's going on the inside. Does that make sense? And so, and how many know that at the end of the day, we have to let God define who we are? Isn't that right? We can't let statistics define who we are. We can't let people define who we are. We can't let systems define who we are. We have to understand that we can only let the Word of God define who we are. And a lot of times, instead of letting God define us, we let other things define us. You got it? First thing that a lot of times we let define us is we let culture define who we are. Everybody say culture. You know, this deals with how you look and what you have. You got it? So, you know, somebody walks in the room and, you know, they got nice clothes on, or they have the most popular, you know, make or outfit or what kind of, those kind of things. You know, if you're not careful, because that's how culture is, you automatically give more clout to that person than the person that walked in behind that just had quote-unquote regular clothes, whatever that is. You understand what I'm saying? You know, y'all understand what I'm saying? So what a lot of times we will, but if we're not careful, because that's how culture defines us, that's, watch this, we think that we can only feel good if we only dress a certain way. Now, we all like to dress nice. I like to dress nice. I hope you like to dress nice. Like, when I woke up in the morning, you know, matter of fact, not in the morning, that's not true. I put these clothes together last night. You understand what I'm saying? I ironed all my clothes last night, you know, and, you know, I tried, you know, my jacket on, because I haven't worn a jacket in several months, and I wanted to make sure I could still fit it good, you know. And so, and then we have this big, tall mirror. It's about 8 foot high, you know, in our dressing room. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, brother, man, he look good. You're going to be sharp tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? You know, because it's okay to look good. But I'm looking good for me and not for anybody else. Does that make sense? And you have to learn how, no, it's okay for me to look good. I should want to look good. But watch this. But I'm not doing it to try to impress anybody. I'm just doing it because that's how I am and that's what I want. Does that make sense? And so you can't let culture define how you look, and you certainly can't let culture define what you have. You know, my thing is, you know, the Bible teaches us that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. So although he did come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, and God does want you blessed, and God does want you to have nice things, you are not who you are because of a house you live in or a car you drive. You are who you are because of the relationship you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you. That's what makes you who you are. Does that make sense? And so you got to understand that, because see, if you don't understand that, then you won't see every day. I realize that I'm never in competition with anybody else, that I'm marching to the beat of my own drum, that I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. I'm trying to be a better husband. I'm trying to be a better father. I'm trying to be a better pastor. I'm just trying to be a better person than I was yesterday. And when you live your life like that, there's no comparison. Remember last week we talked about comparison and how the Bible says that it's unwise when we compare ourselves to one another. You got it? Because we don't understand. And then on Tuesday night, we started talking a little bit more about it from a different area. You might be on your job and you feel like you're doing good. And then the team comes together and the boss picks that person to run the assignment instead of you. Well, you have not lost your value because he picked that person over you. Because watch this, the Bible says that we are one body, many members, and every joint supplies. So on Tuesday night, I got to calm down because I'm already getting excited. I'm about to go somewhere. We got the revelation that, watch this, I don't lose my value because I understand who I am and who God has made me, and I still have purpose even though it might be a different position. So you might be the quarterback, but you still need a good front line, because if you don't have a good front line, nothing's going to happen for you. Does that make sense? So you cannot let culture define who you are. You can't compete with everybody. You can't compare with everybody. Life isn't a scorecard, so stop competing with everybody. You got it? Stop trying to hang out with and compete with the Joneses. I hope nobody's last name is Jones. If so, I'm not talking about you, all right? Y'all know what I mean when I say Joneses, right? Yeah, no, trying to, you know, because what happens is if you try to hang with the Joneses, you're going to lose every time. Every time you're going to lose if you try to hang with the Joneses, because what you don't know is maybe the Joneses are masquerading. Maybe the Joneses have that nice new Mercedes, but they're paying 29% interest on it. Maybe the Joneses are walking around like they're so happy in love, but maybe they're fighting and throwing vacuum cleaners and pots and pans on the inside, and you're trying to be like somebody you really don't want to be like, because all you see is what's going on the outside, not realizing that their soul is unhealthy on the inside. I'm teaching better than you're shouting amen. And so you have to learn how to be comfortable in your own skin, that I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made, that God knew what he was doing when he made me. And you need to start saying stuff like, as a matter of fact, let's just start right now. Everybody say, God knew what he was doing when he made me. It's okay to even tell somebody. Just tell somebody that it's God knew what he was doing when he made me. God, and so that's why I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm not trying to compare myself to anybody. I'm not trying to compete with anybody. I'm not in comparison with anybody. I love who I am with my 5'5" and a half self. Don't you forget the half. The half is important to a brother, man. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because God added the half. And since God added the half, I'm going to bask in everything that God did for me. I'm not 6'2", you understand? I'm 5'5" and a half, but I am being the best husband I can be at 5'5" and a half. I'm being the best pastor I can be at 5'5" and a half. Why? Because I understand that I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. That's why the writer says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. See, all through Scripture, if you really understand the Bible is always trying to inspire you. It is trying, you know, it is always trying to encourage you. It is always trying to push you to the next level and teach you, learn how to be who you are in God, and don't let culture define you. Amen. Y'all get anything out of this? All right, here's another one. Instead of letting culture define you, which was number one, we'll put number two up on the screen. Sometimes we like to let our past define who we are. And that's a dangerous thing, to allow your past to define who you are. Number one, everybody has a past. Yeah, y'all should have got a better amen than that, but that's all right. No, everybody in the room has a past. Everybody in the room has things that they're not proud of that maybe happened a long time ago. You got it. Everybody has that closet where you threw all that stuff in that closet and you close the door and you put a padlock on it along with the deadbolt and you got somebody standing, you got it, right, you know, with the, with the Glock, you understand what I'm saying? To anybody try to open this door, just wave the Glock at. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because you don't want anybody, hello somebody, to get in that closet because you have finally, watch this, God already forgave you, but you have finally forgiven yourself and you understand that what's in the past is in the past, that this is a new season, that this is a new day, that there's a fresh anointing on my life, and that, watch this, and every day I wake up in anticipation and expectation that this is the day. This is the day. This is the moment. This is my season. This is the day that God is going to do something he's never done before. This is the day that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is guarding my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This is the day that the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength. This is the day that I finally realized that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm going to walk out my purpose that God designed me from the foundations of the earth. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. So, you know, you can never allow your past to define who you are. Let me put it this way. Never live your life through the rearview mirror of your past. Never live your life through the rearview mirror of your past. What's in the past is in the past. And you need to learn that. You got it. You need to learn that. What's in the past is in the past. And so you can never live your life through the rearview mirror of your past, of negative words that have been spoken into your life. Because if you're not careful, at some point in your life, you know, it could have been a relationship with somebody. It could have been a credible other. It could have been a mother. It could have been a father. It could have been someone that, you know, degraded you or talked bad about you and those kind of things. And what you don't understand is, you know, they lied to us when they said sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me, because words are actually powerful. And so we masquerade with sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But at the same time, it bothered you that they felt that way about you, because you looked up to them and you thought that, you know, you loved them and you saw them in a certain way. And for them to say that to you, it did something in your soul. Everybody say soul therapy. And so you have to learn how to get over those things. And the way we get over those things is with the blood of Jesus. You got it? The Bible said that the blood of Jesus, it cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve a living God. When it talks about the conscience, it talks about the mind. And you have to understand that the blood of Jesus has eradicated everything, and it can erase everything that is not like God. Does that make sense? You got it? And then, you know, and because everything's a process. And so what happens is when I understand that the blood of Jesus has taken care of those things, and even situations or even people that hurt me, the first step, you got it? Because the first step is forgiveness, but I don't have time to go through all that. But as you go through the process, watch this, the situation will come up, but it won't hurt you anymore. Does that make sense? And so you have to learn how to never live your life through the rearview mirror of your past, of negative words that have been spoken into your life, of negative environments that maybe you found yourself in. You know, I mean, all of us in our lives at some time found ourselves in an environment that we shouldn't have been in, and maybe ended up doing something that we shouldn't have never have done. That's what the Bible talks about with David. That the Bible says it was a time when kings were supposed to be at war. David, you know, is out on the rooftop, and he sees Bathsheba. You got it? He was at a place that he never should have been. You got it? Saw something he shouldn't have never seen, and ended up doing something he should have never have done. Right? And so you have to get over that. You have to, watch this, God has forgiven you. You have to learn how to forgive yourself. Never allow your past to bleed into your present, or it'll pollute your future. Never allow losses in your life make you bitter. And you'll be surprised at how bitterness will creep into people's lives and they don't even know it. You got it, you know. Yeah, you know, because, you know, because we're good at putting on a show. Can I just talk to y'all? Can I just talk to y'all like you was at my house and we were just eating some chicken wings and some french fries? No, because we're good. You know, we come into the, hey, how you doing, girl? I'm blessed of the Lord and I'm highly favored. And you saying the right things. So I'm not knocking that. But at some point, watch this, you have to quit faking it on the outside and deal with what's going on the inside. Does that make sense? Bitterness is a nasty attitude that creeps into your heart unaware, and it makes you see things negatively because of losses that you've been through or challenges that you've had to the degree that it makes you want to give up. And there's a danger in giving up too soon. There's a danger in giving up too soon. Everybody say, never give up. Never give up. I say it again, say, never give up. I mean, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what the devil has said. I don't care what other people have said. I don't care if your family has walked away. I don't care if your best friend is not your best friend anymore. Never, ever, ever give up. So Jesus had a friend named Lazarus, and Lazarus died, and they wanted, you know, he was sick, and they wanted Jesus to come, and Lazarus ends up dying, and then Jesus shows up a few days later, and his sisters were angry. They had gotten bitter. They're crying. If you'd have been here, my brother would have not died. That wasn't Jesus' fault. Jesus didn't make Lazarus sick. And the problem is bitter people will blame you for what's going on in their lives. Oh, if I had time, if I had time. See, and watch this. And you can be justifiably bitter because of something that has gone on in your life, but you have to learn how to get healed from that so you don't live your life like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, because if you're not careful, you will live your life like that. You got it, with bitterness on the inside, but masquerading on the outside. You understand? Oh yeah, hey, how you doing, girl? So good to see you, girl. You sure look good, but you don't even feel good about you. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody say soul therapy. And just because you're bitter doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It just means that you bought into a myth that things didn't work, and as far as you're concerned, they're not ever going to work. But how many know that's a lie? And so you have to learn how to understand, watch this, that I'm not defined by culture. I'm not defined by my past. I'm defined, watch this, by what the Word of God says I am. And the Word of God, watch this, is a seed. It's an infallible seed. It's an incorruptible seed. And watch this. And so now I've got all these other negative things that have been planted on the inside of me. So I have to start planting all this good stuff on the inside of me, which is the Word of God, so I can get all that bad stuff up out of me. So if somebody ever told you were ugly, they lied to you. If somebody ever told you were no good for nothing, they lied to you. Does that make sense? If somebody told you that they were better than you, or somebody else was better than you, or somebody deserved this over you, they lied to you. But if you're not careful, you'll buy into it, because what happens is when we get connected to people and we start, you know, liking people and having relationships with people and loving people, we believe what they say because we value their word. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, so you know, I mean, if, you know, if you value their word, you know, how can I? Oh, here we go. You know, you're at the mall, but you're by yourself. And so, ladies, you want to buy this dress, but you're not sure if you should get it. What do? You take a picture and you send it to somebody and say, what do you think? Am I right about it? Why do you do that? Because you value their word. Based off of what they say 9 times out of 10, you're going to do whatever they said. Does that right? Yeah. And so, watch this. So here's the thing. That's okay. Watch this now. That's okay. You got it. In that arena of a dress. Right? But you can't start letting them tell you got it, who you should date and who you shouldn't date, and where you should work and where you shouldn't work. You got it? And how you should do, you know, girl, I'm thinking about going to school for this. No, you need to go for this. No, hold on now. Wait a minute. I have to value God's voice above everybody else's voice. Okay, all right. I got to go. Oh, talk about bitterness. Everybody say bitterness. Long time ago, I had read the book of Ruth, and it's an incredible book. If it's only a few chapters, you ought to just read it. And Ruth had this mother, Naomi, and Naomi, she had gotten real bitter because she had a husband and she had two sons, and that's, you know, Ruth and Orpah married. Some of y'all know it, and I just don't have time to tell you the whole thing. And so what happened was, over a process of time, the husband dies, and then the sons die. You got it? And then Ruth tells the daughter-in-law, just go on, just go back to your home. Maybe you can find you another man. And she's bitter on the inside because of what happened on the outside. And so now they're going back home to her home, and they're talking, and they say, hey, Naomi, how you doing? Hey, Naomi, Naomi, come over to the house. Naomi, come have some coffee. Well, Naomi means joy. So every time they're doing it, they're saying, hey, joy, hey, joy, hey, joy. And one day she was so mad, she said, don't call me Naomi anymore. So don't call me joy. She says, call me Mara. Mara means bitter. She said, because I went out full and I came back in empty. Don't let life make you change your name. Don't allow your past to define you. But you have to learn to think beyond the past. Oh, man. Oh, I got 4 minutes and 36 seconds. I think I can do this. I think I can do this. Can I show you a scripture that's probably going to surprise you a little bit? Romans 12 and 3. I'll read it in the NIV. It's very close to the KJV. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with faith, with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Now, you know, as a little boy growing up, you know, I'm a student of the word. I love to hear teaching. I love to hear preaching. If you get in ladies' car, you're going to hear singing. You understand? That's rightfully so. That's her anointing. When you get in mine, it's either going to be quiet so I can hear from God, or it's going to either be teaching or preaching so I can, you know, be filling myself up. You got it? And so I always heard that as a little boy, that meant that you know, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Like, don't be uppity. Don't be suchy much. Y'all know what suchy much is, right? It's another word for uppity. You understand what I'm saying? You won't find it in Webster's, but it's just another word. But when you do the translation, you realize that's not exactly what God was saying. Watch this. Watch the translation. Well, you know, I love word searches. Highly in the Greek is hyperphaneo. It means improper view, a bad assessment, or out of your mind. So the writer is basically saying, do not think of yourself or have an improper view or give you a bad assessment, or don't think crazy is what he's really saying. That's what highly means. Now, if you keep reading, he says, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Let's put that back on the screen. Everybody say sober. Sober in the Greek means sophroneo, means having a right mind, all right? So I started looking at this, and then, you know me, I said, well, I just need to go see what the word faith means. You understand? Because, you know, sometimes faith means something different in one verse than it does in another verse. And so as I looked at this word faith, it has to do with the assurance and security of who God has made you. And so after I started looking at this, the Bible doesn't say don't be so uppity or don't be so suchy much. No, God is saying, I don't want you to have an improper view, but be clear in your thoughts based on who I created you to be. You got it? He says, no, so I don't want you to be uppity, but I don't want you to be negative either. Jesus. You got it? So I don't want you to think of yourself uppity, but I don't want you to think of yourself negative, like you can't do it, because you can do all things through Christ that strengthen you. Bottom line, everybody say bottom line. You'll never be right until you can see right. Bottom line, if you're going to put that on social media, please put it up right. I say that every Sunday, and at least one person messes up and you tag me. Bottom line. You'll never be right until you can see right. You'll never be right on the inside until you can see who God's made you. Let's go home, Courtney. So let me give you three things that'll help you just overcome some challenges and some insecurities in life. You ready? All right, number one. Everybody say number one. See God correctly. See God correctly. Don't see God, watch this, through a sermon that somebody preached that said God's going to get you and he's mad at you. Don't see God that way. But see God correctly through his word. Psalms 59 and 10, the first part of verse 10 says, my God is changeless in his love for me. Do you know what that means? That he's never going to change his mind. That he's never going to let me down. That he's never going to break my heart. Number two, number two, Number one, see God correctly. Number two, I've got to see myself the way God sees me. We all know this scripture, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You got to hold on to that. I'm God's special possession. So God doesn't look at me the way culture looks at me. Culture looks at me and, if he's this tall, if he got these kind of clothes on, if he drives this kind of car, then he's somebody. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, just like I am, I'm God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then number one, see God correctly. What's number two, class? Okay, good. All right. Y'all know what number three is? All right. Playing with me. Get around people who see me the way God sees me. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Right relationships help us define who we are and what we become in life. And so I learned a long time ago that as much as I want everybody to like me, everybody's not going to like me. What time is it? Oh, I got to go. You know, I just share this with you and then I'll close. I'll be 42. Thank you. 42. I don't have my wife here to help me. Oh, yeah. Lady sends her love. She was at a women's conference at my best friend's church. Pastor Evan, his wife, Pastor Sarah, put on one, and so I let her go. She said, can I be gone the weekend? I said, girl, you can do whatever you want to do. That's my girl. And so we started the ministry when we were 30. When we were 30, we were young, just on fire for God. Still am, just had a zeal, and I just knew that I'm just going to go to New Bern. I'm going to teach faith. Everybody's life is just going to be better. You got it? Like, I'm going to teach faith. They're going to get it, that their marriage is going to get better, that their finances are going to get better. Like, their children are going to get, like, things are just going to work. You got it? And all that was good. And then I believe that everybody that walked in was just going to love me. And it wasn't in an uppity way. This is my vision of it. And then I met church folks. And I realized that everybody didn't see God the way I saw God. And everybody didn't treat people the way I treated people. And everybody didn't want to see everybody do good. Like, when people do good, I get excited. Sometimes when people do good, people get jealous. And I couldn't understand that. And so, it bothered me the first couple times. And then it bothered me about the 30th time. And then it bothered me about the 150th time. And the Holy Spirit was trying to help me the whole time. You got it. And I remember I was at lunch with the elder and Mother C. And I don't want to get into it. I'm fine. But something that happened was just wrong. It seemed like the people that you help the most are the ones that hurt you the most. And I was talking to him, and I wasn't really wanting a pity party. I didn't think I was, but I was trying to let them know what happened to justify, like, what they did to me wasn't right. Is that a pity party? I don't know. Might be. And so then Elder C said, Doc, you gonna worry about that? Like, he was like just no holds barred. He's like, man, I know you ain't worried about that. I mean, you better just keep on doing what you're doing. You know how many people's lives you're impacting. You know what you're doing. And then from that day forward, I said, I am never, ever going to worry about how somebody perceives me because I understand who I am in God. Does that make sense? And that's the same way with you. You can't live your life worrying about what people think and those kind of things. As long as you're walking by this word, as long as you're living out this word, as long as you're loving people, as long as you're doing everything you can to the best of your ability, you wake up every day with the right attitude to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And you begin to declare and command your day and walk in favor, walk in peace, walk in prosperity, walk in everything that God has called you to do. Didn't get a chance to really go into the bitterness and talk about all those kind of things. But if I could ask you to do one thing for the rest of this year, and you might have to take it week at a time and then a month at a time. From this day forward, don't fall out with nobody. Don't fall out with, y'all know what the word fall out means. Don't get in arguments. You got to, don't fall out with anybody, because falling out with people affects how you see God. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, follow peace with all men and holiness, for without no man shall see the Lord. It is the peaceful attitude that causes me to really see who God is. But falling out with people affects how we see God. And so for no other reason than just to have a clear picture of who God is, just get along with everybody. Even the people that do you wrong. Even the people that cut you off and you want to follow them. You understand what I'm saying? Even just learn how to get along with people. And as you get along, I was driving down the road, and I was driving down the road, and you know, my wife gets on me. Should I say this yet? Because I drive the speed limit. I do. She doesn't always drive the speed limit, praise the Lord. And so she's like, babe, people are gonna go around you, and you in the right lane. The right lane means the slow lane, the left means you. I'm like, babe, it says 70. I'm going 71. I'm giving it all I got right now. Well, babe, you can go 73 or 74. Like, I'm going 71. I'm already speeding. And so somebody went behind and blew the horn. She said, see, I told you. I was like, praise the Lord. Why? I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. I'm not going to let anybody cause me to have a bad day. I'm not going to let anybody change me from having a great attitude to having a bad attitude, because to the degree I keep my good attitude and I keep my heart right, God's got blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing waiting for me. Let's pray. I got to go. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building.